Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. In the name of Jesus. Humans see the world in 3D, but our eyes individually capture 2D images. Then they have to create the 3D depth perception, and that process, if you don't know, is called stereoscopic vision. And of course, it's not just about having two eyes. Our brains also use monocular cues. It has to tell us about these dimensions and make them to those three-dimensional objects. What does that have to do with faith? Well, likewise, faith needs to capture an image. In order for us to see with eyes of faith, we need help processing the vision. We also need our minds to help with the cues. But here's the thing. Faith is a noun. It is an object that you get, like a present. And it is the present that it is why it's a gift. You call a present a gift, and it is God's gift. Faith is God's present. Now, in antiquity, faith was equated to getting a warranty. You all know what those are. If you've got the guarantee, that's what the warranty delivers, then you could say, I got the faith. So you can hold the paperwork tangibly in your hands. Or many of you have, or maybe on your phone, have an insurance card. You need that. If you get pulled over, you hand to the officer when he pulls you over to prove that your vehicle is covered. But I bet you didn't know the fact that faith is a noun. It is a noun in Scripture. You probably thought that faith is something that you have to do, an action. But then that would make it a verb. So since school is starting this week, I thought I'd kick it off with some introduction to the rules of grammar. But if faith is a noun, that means that it can only be received, that its core meaning is gift. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. And this is how we live our lives. To see faith takes a triune dimension to understand. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit affects it. God concerning himself with events. Events like what you eat, what you wear, concerns of the body, concerns for the soul. So you want to describe faith, hear it in stereo. Turn it into an adjective. So, okay, what does that mean, Pastor? Hear it described in this way. God said. The word of the Lord came. God created. He designs and builds. God warns. God takes, as he took Enoch. God promises. God prepares. That's how you describe faith, because it's a noun. But you have to choose faith, right? That's a big question. Do you have to choose it? I mean, to pick the warranty that you want, yeah, you do have to go with a company, right? Pick that type of insurance company that you want. You get to choose that. But listen, when Jesus says, but you of little faith, do not seek after these things, for your Father knows that you need them. See, the warranty and the insurance aren't what saves you. In all reality, they are just pieces of paper. But what saves you is the one who provides the warranty, the company or enterprise that you get it from. And if they're not worth their salt, then what they provide is worthless. You have to have faith. Well, that's scary. How do I believe that I'm covered? That right there is the verb, to be covered. See, that's where belief comes in. Belief is the action word. You have to believe in the noun. Believe the faith that you have it. Now, belief by implication is credit entrusted to someone. See, life is very, very tangible. You can see it, taste things in it, hear things. Everything we have relates to faith and the tangibleness of belief, seeking, and preparation. And the fact that we have such things as warranties and insurance and credit cards, yes, those are things of the world, but they also teach the faith. What you eat, what you wear, what happens to your body, what you get anxious about and what you worry about, all have to do with faith. And we live our life in that dimension. And it comes pretty quick at you, doesn't it? Life. Like when you put on the 3D glasses at the movie theater and those images pop out of the screen like they're on top of you, just like life. Depending on that movie genre, sometimes whatever pops out on you can make you drop your popcorn. Fear. Now there's a famous quote, a saying that goes, courage is fear that has said its prayers. Courage is fear that has said its prayers. But I say that fear is courage that has not said its prayers. Well, with that, you may remember the campaign from the pandemic years, Faith Over Fear. Now, fear is a verb. Fear is something that you do. And that's important because that means it's not something you have or get. You cannot have or get fear. It's just an action that you do. And that's why Jesus says, do not do it. He says, fear not, little flock. And that way he knows that we're all little lambs that shake and tremble whenever we perceive a threat. Just like real sheep. Sheep try to flee from a perceived threat when they are scared. You see, they have a strong flight response. They do fear. They run. That's an action. But sheep also have a strong herd mentality. If fleeing isn't possible, they bunch together with the rest of the flock for safety. And this is what the faith chapter of Hebrews 11 starts with. This is what happened to Abel, Enoch, Noah, and his household, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Sarah. They all got faith, given it by the one who wrote the warranty. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar. Greeted them from afar. Wow, that's some pretty good vision, because what the afar part is Jesus coming as a descendant from them. Jesus giving the gift of being the substitute sacrifice. Jesus saving through water. Jesus having resurrection power. They saw that from afar. So they had some pretty good eyes. They had the 3D glasses of God's plan. And also of the things in the plot and all the in-betweens. Not just seeing far, but everything in between. Which was those examples of the parting of the Red Sea. Things like the snake on a pole. The sun standing still in Joshua. How about a man surviving 3 days in the belly of a fish? Jonah, those are some scary things. And you are anxious and worried about what you eat and what you will wear? See, from afar, they acknowledge that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. And so we have in the very next chapter of Hebrews, chapter 12, this. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Of our what? Our faith. He founded it, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Those are the treasures in heaven that do not fail. The money bag of the cross that does not grow old. And the text says in today's gospel to exchange your possessions. See, that's a command. Exchange your possessions for Christ's possessions. That's number one. And then number two, exercise compassion, have mercy on the poor. Exchange and exercise compassion and mercy. This is life in 3D. So now we're going to go back to verse 14 in Hebrews 11. For people who speak, that is, tell lay out, give, or describe. Those are all definitions for speaking. They thus make manifest. They make it clear. 3D depth perception. When the mind processes and is processing what they are seeing. And what is that? A homeland. A fatherland is the word Luke writes, not just a country or homeland, but a fatherland. And with that, it reminds me of the movie. It's based on C.S. Lewis's Chronicles of Narnia. And the Hollywood version of that, in the third one, I believe it is, The Voyage of the Don Treader, at the end, spoiler alert, Reepicheep the mouse, who had fought through all the chronicles before this, and he is on Aslan's side. Aslan is the great lion who is the Christ allegory in the stories. Standing on the seashore, this is the end, Reepicheep speaks up, he bows to Aslan, says, "Your Eminence, ever since I can remember, I have dreamt of seeing your country. I've had many great adventures in this world, but nothing has dampened that yearning. I know I am hardly worthy, but with your permission, I would lay down my sword for the joy of seeing your country with my own eyes." Aslan responds, "My country was made for noble hearts such as yours, no matter how small their bearers be." And Reepicheep beams and bows again, and then turns to Edmund and Lucy to say his goodbyes. And finally, it was Eustace's turn to bid the mouse farewell. And Eustace had been turned into a golden dragon before. Aslan had to turn him back. And he says, "I don't understand." And he starts crying. He had made really good friends with Reepicheep. And he says to Reepicheep, "Well, I not see you again, ever." And Reepicheep says, "What a magnificent puzzle you are." And he says it with a smile. "It has been my honor to fight beside such a brave warrior and a great friend." And with that, Reepicheep runs over towards the waves. There's a little wicker basket boat that he gets in, waiting for him to paddle out. And then as he touches the wet sand, Reepicheep plunges his sword into the wet sand, says, "I won't be needing this." Then he paddles the little boat over the crest of waves, disappearing, paddling towards Aslan's country. Now Lucy turns to Aslan and asks, "This is your last time here, isn't it?" Aslan replies, "Yes, you have grown up, my dear one." And Lucy starts crying, "Will you visit us in our world?" Aslan says, "I shall be watching you always." Lucy says, "How?" Aslan responds, "In your world, I have another name. You must learn to know me by it. That was the very reason you were brought to Narnia, that by knowing me here for a little while, you may know me better there." Lucy says, "Will we meet again?" Aslan replies, "Yes, dear one, one day." With that image, it is like that. This fatherland that we see from afar, just like the patriarchs and matriarchs that have gone before us in the faith once given, where it sees things like how birdies in your backyard are fed. It sees how you're full that your junk drawer is at home. Faith sees that. This is 3D life that we are living now. Faith creates a hope closet because we have too many clothes to wear at home. And you can see outside how the grass and how the lilies grow. They neither toil nor spin. Very tangible, everyday life stuff. And we live them. Grass in the field, which is alive today and gone tomorrow. And also grass that comes back, even over an area where something was dead. Life in 3D, where the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit take delight, for it is their good pleasure to give. To give what? The kingdom. Now the kingdom is also a noun. It is the realm of a king, the rule of Christ which extends from afar. Once again, I keep repeating, life in 3D. You're going to remember that today. So as God told Abraham, look to the stars. We too, we can do that. We can look to the stars and you will not be able to number them. As we sang, earth and all stars, loud rushing planets, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing in 3D. As we are the little flock huddled in here together now, believers, flocking to faith. And the Lord then will count all that as life in 3D. Life in 3D is rightness. He accounts it to you as rightness. And he also constructs it for you. 3D in the name of Jesus. Amen.